This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
Team on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Nwaba Dabba Do. David Nwaba returns to the Rockets on a 3-year deal, a very team-friendly contract, as well as the Rockets adding Tice, baby. Daniel Tice, what is up? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I am your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Be sure to visit RockAuto.com. They've got amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com. And if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button. Be sure to subscribe at our brand new YouTube channel. Subscribe Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to your podcast. We would sincerely appreciate it. NBA free agency. What a whirlwind. And we're going to talk all about it. We're going to focus on the Rockets. We're going to talk about some of the other free agency moves around the NBA and, you know, just kind of what the big picture look of the NBA, you know, is going on there. We'll get to that in kind of segment three. Want to focus on the Rockets for these first couple of segments and kind of the moves that they made, the moves that they didn't make. What we can expect moving forward from them out of the rest of free agency, all that good stuff. But the exciting news, David Nwaba returns on a 3-year deal, a very team-friendly contract, as well as the rumors that we've discussed before as of about a week ago circulating around that Daniel Tice had some strong connections to the Rockets organization, the Rockets making a move for him as well, bringing Daniel Tice in on a 4-year deal. And we're going to get into the specifics of their contracts and everything. I want to focus on David Nwaba first. And one, I'm really happy they brought David Nwaba back. I feel like of the core group of guys from this past season that were guys who were potentially going to leave in free agency, of Kelly Olynyk, Sterling Brown, David Nwaba, DJ Wilson, Avery Bradley, right? Just, you know, the list goes on and on. Of all those guys, David Nwaba was the one who brought a unique skill set that I don't think anybody else truly matched. I think there was kind of an immediate reaction to, oh, well, he's, you know, still not a good 3-point shooter. I think the shooting, you know, is definitely something that we'd like to see some improvement in, but he brings so much more to the table. He brings a really physical defensive presence to that wing spot. He can guard positions pretty much one through five almost. You know, it's probably maybe a stretch for him against some fives, but 1 through 4 very easily, is a bigger wing presence, is an amazing cutter, great in transition, plays with such an intense motor, and really found his niche for this Rockets team this past season playing off the bench. When they finally got things, you know, the lineup to the point where they could consistently have David Nwaba and Sterling Brown as that kind of 1-2 punch wrecking crew off the bench, think about the number of times that we saw games where, you know, maybe it was getting a little out of hand for the Rockets, or, you know, they just needed that shot in the arm off the bench, right? And David Nwaba and Sterling Brown check in and immediately turn the tide of the game in the Rockets' favor. Love David Nwaba. Love what he brings to the team. Love that the Rockets are going to have all these young guys, you know, be it Jalen Green, Josh Christopher, Şengün, Garuba, who are going to need kind of this, you know, more veteran presence around them, right? And David Nwaba is a guy who shows up, does his job well, has great work ethic, puts in, you know, the work on a nightly basis to be the best version of himself that he can be. And you think back to that quote, right, that he had back when he injured his wrist and he didn't want to sit out, right? He didn't want to miss games because he couldn't stand to see his team out there struggling without him. And, you know, just paraphrasing here, but it's that type of mentality, right? That team first mentality, you know, do whatever it takes to win. And you got to love that for a guy like David Nwaba. A fan favorite. And of course, the Nwaba Daba Do. Can't go too long without mentioning the Nwaba Daba Do again. But the specifics on his contract, a 3-year deal worth $15 million. Give or take about $5 million a year. Front end of the contract, probably a little bit lower, and then scaling up towards the end. No specifics other than we know that the third year is a team option. And the Rockets were able to do this. The Rockets were able to sign David Nwaba utilizing the early bird exception because he has been with the team for 2 seasons now, because the Rockets waived Isaiah Hartenstein to be able to bring in David Nwaba 2 seasons ago, just before the bubble was implemented. So even though David Nwaba didn't play that season, he was still under contract with the Rockets that season. Obviously, he played last season, and that gave the Rockets the early bird exception on him, which meant that they could assign him up to a certain amount, which was a little bit more than the current MLE or non-taxpayer MLE valuation of somewhere around like $10 million. They didn't have to go up to that amount, but they could have. So they negotiated a really team-friendly contract with David Nwaba, $5 million a year. That's nothing for what he provides. That's a really awesome deal. And it still means they have access to their non-taxpayer MLE, because we're going to get into exactly how they signed Daniel Theis and what his role is on this team moving forward. But for David Nwaba, right, you know, this Rockets team has a certain number of wings. Now I want to roll through their lineup, because I have this over here. I should have had this pulled up before. Let me scroll down. I got to find this. Where to go? Here we go. Okay. So the Rockets have a current 15-man roster of guys who are under contract officially. They've also extended, obviously, the qualifying offers to Armoni Brooks and Anthony Lamb. And they've got guys who are signed to their summer league roster. They've also got Matthew Hurt, who is on a 2-way contract. But as of right now, their 15-man locked-in roster, which could change, right? Guys could be waived, could be traded still, all of that. But right now, their 15-man roster. Starting with the guards, you've got John Wall, Eric Gordon, Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, DJ Augustine, Josh Christopher, Kyrie Thomas. For your wings, you've got Daniel House Jr., Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, David Nwaba. For your bigs, you've got Christian Wood, Daniel Theis, Alperen Şengün, Usman Garuba. So that's your 15-man Rockets roster. It's very loaded on the guard portion of it. But as far as David Nwaba goes, you know, again, I think that he makes the most sense there to bring back of that core group of guys, Sterling Brown, Kelly Olynyk, both receiving deals elsewhere, respectively. Kelly Olynyk receiving a deal with the Detroit Pistons, talk about that in segment 3. Sterling Brown receiving a deal with Dallas Mavericks, talk about that in segment 3. Coming up, though, I do want to talk about Daniel Theis. And because he's the new face, right? It's exciting that they brought David Nwaba back, but I do want to talk about Daniel Theis and kind of why I think they opted to go that direction instead of Kelly Olynyk. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Because look, why on earth would you want to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts? You've got, you know, so many different makes and models these days. It's basically impossible for a traditional brick and mortar store to, you know, keep all the parts that they need available on hand. So just go to rockauto.com, visit their catalog, scroll through. You can find everything that you need for your car or truck. It's super easy to navigate their website. You can find all the brands and specifications that you need for your vehicle. So visit rockauto.com. And when you go to check out, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Let's talk Daniel Theis, the newest addition to the Rockets team. We kind of talked about the rumors circulating around Daniel Theis about a week ago. The initial reports saying that Daniel Theis to Houston could be a possibility this offseason. Shared my initial thoughts there, and I like the Daniel Theis signing. And there's a few reasons for that. But first, to kind of clarify, let's get into the fact that they lost out on Kelly Olynyk. So Olynyk signed a 3-year deal worth about $37 million with the Detroit Pistons. upon initial, you know, reaction to that deal, Olynyk was clearly still in the Rockets' price range. Because $37 million, 3 years, you know, that's not an absurd amount of money. I genuinely thought he was going to get more than that on the market this offseason. And I thought that he was going to be pursued by probably some teams, you know, with some legitimate playoff aspirations. The Pistons are neither of those teams, right? Like, they didn't pay him a substantial amount of money. And like, they didn't outbid the Rockets, let's put it that way. And they're not a playoff team, right? They are in the midst of a rebuild, arguably basically at the same like level of rebuilding that the Rockets are at. So what was the deciding factor here? Did Kelly Olynyk just decide that he wanted to live in Detroit versus Houston? I don't think that's the issue. I think it's simply the Rockets wanted to go in a different direction with their choice of veteran presence in the front court alongside Christian Wood and the two new rookies that they're bringing in Alperen Şengün and Usman Garuba. Because let's face it, Kelly Olynyk, for as amazing as he was in that half season with the Rockets, he left a little bit to be desired, and I'm being nice about it, defensively. So that being said, you bring in a guy like Daniel Theis, who is kind of the inverse of Kelly Olynyk, right? Daniel Theis is a guy who has hung his hat and made, you know, a career based on being like a rugged big man who, you know, prides himself on his defense and play, you know, does all the dirty work, that kind of guy, right? But he still also provides you that five-out spacing offensively. He gives you a guy who can still effectively, you know, run pick and roll like Kelly did, you know, kind of an underrated passer, you know, very, you know, still a starting quality big, but you just kind of flip the roles to where he's a bit more defensive oriented, and you're not going to get, you know, you probably won't get the flashy, you know, some of the flashy offensive plays out of Daniel Theis that you would have gotten out of Kelly Olynyk, but that's okay because you've got Christian Wood, who is supposed to be shouldering the brunt of the offensive burden in the front court for the Rockets. And then you've also got Alperen Şengün coming off the bench, who is, you know, a really, really talented, polished offensive player who has some question marks about his defense, especially as he transitions to the NBA game. So you've got now kind of two forces that are more defensive oriented in the front court with Daniel Theis and Usman Garuba. And then you've got Christian Wood and Alperen Şengün, who are a bit more offensive oriented as far as the bigs go. And you can mix and match those guys, any combination, right? Any of those guys can play with any other of those guys, right? You could slot any of those guys in with each other and still run a cohesive 4-5 lineup. The only two that are going to be a little bit of a question mark, and I doubt we see it, you know, right away, would be Şengün and Garuba, because both of them, you know, don't necessarily, you know, Garuba's outside shot, not very consistent whatsoever. Şengün's outside shot, non-existent currently. So for spacing purposes, I would be highly shocked if we ever saw those two guys on the court together at the same time, at least in the early part of the season. But for me, this Daniel Theis signing was simply just a shift in direction for the organization where they wanted to bring in a guy who could be a bit more of a defensive anchor for this team, deal with some of the, you know, the tougher bigs defensively in the NBA, allow things to, you know, kind of free things up for Christian Wood to play the four instead of the five, which is probably more so his natural position. Just an endless amount of benefits to the Daniel Theis signing. Kelly Olynyk, I'm going to be sad to see him go. He was an amazing Rocket for the half season that he was here. Always said and did all the right things, was a consummate professional. So to the Olynyk Clinic, thank you for your time in Houston. It was amazing. It was a fun ride. Wish you all the best in Detroit. But you're a Piston now, and we hate Cade Cunningham because Jalen Green was the best player in the 2021 NBA draft, and that is now a rivalry that will last until the end of time. So sorry, Olynyk, you're a Piston now. So as far as, you know, some other points on this, on the Daniel Theis signing, you know, 4-year deal, Kelly Eco of The Athletic reporting that it is not fully guaranteed. Don't know the specifics on it quite just yet, but it is not fully guaranteed. And this, you know, the unique thing about how the Rockets acquired Daniel Theis, and I apologize because I should have mentioned this, you know, these two small little wrinkles in the free agency primer. And as I was, you know, thinking about it throughout the day, I was like, damn, I missed out on that. The Rockets had a number of trade exceptions available, and they have utilized or plan to utilize the trade exception that was created by way of the Victor Oladipo trade to absorb Daniel Theis via sign and trade with the Bulls. So what that means, right, is Daniel Tice is going to sign his contract with the Bulls, get sent over to the Rockets, and the Bulls are going to generate a TPE themselves for doing this, for sending Daniel Tice to the Rockets. The Rockets are simply sending out what is called, you know, a nominal consideration, and Rockets fans should be, you know, intimately familiar with nominal consideration, considering that's exactly what happened in the Kevin Porter Jr. deal. So the top 55 protected second round pick, the, you know, got Kevin Porter Jr. for nothing situation, that's nominal consideration, right? So it's simply you're sending back, you know, something in the deal to satisfy the trade requirements set forth by the NBA. In this case, the Rockets are just sending back a small lump sum of cash. So Rockets send out cash. Bulls send out Daniel Tice on a fresh four-year contract that he signed. Rockets absorb that contract into the traded player exception that was generated by the Victor Oladipo deal, and the Rockets managing to still now have access to their non-taxpayer MLE. So the Rockets have brought back David Nwaba using the early bird exception on a three-year $15 million deal, and they have brought in Daniel Tice on a four-year $36 million deal, but absorbed him into a TPE, so they still have access to their non-taxpayer MLE. Now, granted, they are capped out on roster spots right now. They have 15 players under contract. They do not have any open roster spots. However, they can carry up to 20 players during the offseason. They don't have to cut down to the official 15-man roster quite just yet. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide they want to potentially do with that non-taxpayer MLE. There was some reporting that they want to add some shooting, to the roster. And I do think that if you're looking at both now the draft and these couple of free agency signings, shooting is definitely the one thing this Rockets team still has not prioritized, which is not great. I jokingly was talking myself, I'll save that for segment three, to make sure I wrap up my points on Daniel Tice. Love the signing. I think he's going to be a great veteran presence for this Rockets team, for Christian Wood, for the, you know, pair of bigs that they just brought in. And as far as like the depth chart goes, this is where we get into some serious question marks about, I would be shocked if Daniel Tice was not the starter alongside Christian Wood to start the NBA season, which means what do you do with the other three spots? Right? Because John Wall, as long as he's a Houston Rocket, is probably going to start. Kevin Porter Jr. should probably continue starting, because we know that he's, you know, had some confidence issues, and bringing Kevin Porter Jr. off the bench does not seem like the right play, given some of his past off the court struggles and, you know, how he may or may not take that. Granted, it feels like he's grown up quite a bit since the, you know, Cleveland incident, but who knows? Maybe benching him, you know, would lead to some confidence issues, some struggle in his play, whatever. So I think Kevin Porter Jr. should continue to start. So that leaves you one opening spot in the starting lineup between Jayshon Tate and Jalen Green. And hey, maybe they decide to start Jalen Green at the three, put Jayshon Tate at the four, and they do bring Daniel Tice off the bench, and they send Şengün and Garuba down to the G League for a little while, or one of them, or they take turns, you know, playing down at the G League. I don't know. But they are in a bit of a logjam with six players who are probably deserving of starting for different reasons for each of them, obviously. And they've only got five starting roster spots. So it'll be really interesting to see what the actual starting lineup is come opening night. And I've got plenty of thoughts about who it should be and who it shouldn't be, but I just wanted to throw that one out there, a little brain teaser for you to be thinking about. So with that, I do want to get into kind of wrap up final thoughts on this, as well as just some general thoughts on the NBA landscape at large. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. We've got baseball season going strong. They've also got UFC, MMA, you name it, they've got it over at BetOnline. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's time to get in on the action. You can do that using promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Quick final thoughts on NBA free agency. And so first, you know, talked about Kelly Olynyk going to the Detroit Pistons and some of the logic there. Not sure what the Pistons are doing because, you know, from the Rockets standpoint, like they had Kelly Olynyk. I don't know if the Pistons are trying to jump the gun on being competitive or what, but I'll let them do them. Go check out Kuka Hill over on Locked On Pistons if you care about the Pistons. But not sure what they're doing there. Makes sense for the Rockets, you know, bringing in Daniel Tice, all that good stuff. Sterling Brown was the other name that I wanted to focus on here for a minute. Loved what Sterling Brown did for the Houston Rockets. He was a total surprise being brought in on a, you know, vet minimum deal this past season. Was not expecting much out of Sterling Brown. And then he totally surprised with his play, with his, you know, growth throughout the season. You know, his ability as a catch and shoot, you know, 3-point guy, his shooting percentage, you know, he was one of the best shooters on the team for much of the season. And then he really proved himself as, you know, as a defender, being able to switch, being able to, you know, play different defensive schemes. And then, you know, there were games where he was asked to do more offensively, right? Where he showed that he was able to take guys off the dribble, you know, attack off closeouts and, you know, finish at the rim and create for himself, create for others. Sterling Brown is going to be a gem for the Dallas Mavericks. You know, he is exactly the type of player that you want to surround a guy like Luka Doncic with. And he's exactly the type of player that I wish the Rockets had been able to put a few more of around James Harden when he was still a Houston Rocket. So credit to the Mavericks. They went out, you know, got Sterling Brown as well as a couple other guys who are going to make Luka's life considerably easier, you know, up the road, you know, through I-45. So, but I don't want to talk about Dallas more than I have to on this podcast. So I do want to talk about a few of the other big name free agency, you know, news, signings, all that good stuff. So Kyle Lowry did ultimately become a member of the Miami Heat, reportedly, you know, agreed to a 3-year, $90 million deal via sign and trade, Raptors sending him to the Miami Heat. Chris Paul comes away securing the bag again, the point god himself, opting out of the final year of his deal to secure yet another 4-year, $120 million deal. Just credit to Chris Paul, you know, completely reworked his body, you know, went, you know, plant-based, all that good stuff. And, you know, the Suns are in a great spot. They just, you know, obviously they went up 2-0 and then lost 4 games in a row in the finals. That's brutal, but they're in a great spot moving forward with that core of Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and Chris Paul kind of leading the way as their veteran presence. And it looks like he's going to ride off into the sunset as a Phoenix Sun, unless Robert Sarver has other ideas about the size and look of that contract, a la one Tillman Fertitta back in the day. But we will see. Right? We'll see how that plays out. Who else? Lonzo Ball being signed and traded to the Chicago Bulls. Another big one. Duncan Robinson securing the bag, the most money ever made for an undrafted player. 5-year, $90 million deal. Also got a plug for his podcast from Adrian Wojnarowski, which I thought was just hilarious. Who else? There's some other big name free agents that have yet to sign. John Collins, still no report there. DeMar DeRozan, nothing going there. Spencer Dinwiddie, no news. Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre was a guy that I kind of jokingly suggested late last night, just before USA Spain tipped off. And, you know, I was looking at his numbers and he had a really rough start to the NBA season last year. You know, first 10 games or so, really rough. Then went on a 25-game tear where he shot 39% from three. Not bad, right? He's a sizable forward. He's got good length. He's, you know, good cutter, good with the ball in his hands, solid defender. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you know, Rockets need to add shooting. He's not necessarily the most consistent shooter based on his career, but he had that really solid stretch, and then he regressed after that stretch, unfortunately, back down to about 30% for the next, like, 20 games. But I jokingly like threw out Kelly Oubre on Twitter as a suggestion, and shout out Felicia Stone, who jumps in below and ratioed the hell out of my tweet saying my daughter approves. So, hey, we got Stone's approval on Kelly Oubre, just not the right one, not the right Stone, member of the Stone family, I should say. But I thought that was pretty funny. Felicia Stone, you know, consistently chiming in on Rockets Twitter. She's funny. like she chimes in, you know, pops in here and there and just little GIF reactions, comments or whatever. And I love how she's like super engaged, almost like on behalf of Rafael Stone, who is still only sent out like less than 50 tweets ever, which I will hold near and dear to my heart that one of those belonged to me. And it's just a little LOL to the Rafael Stone Cold meme of him as Stone Cold Steve Austin. So love that. Who else? Not to get too sidetracked here. What else did I have written down? Because I want to make sure that I didn't miss anything from early on. I did mention USA Spain. It was cool watching Usman Garuba play against USA. I only caught the first half, unfortunately. Did not catch myself staying up for the second half. Had to get to bed at some point. And I will say, because I woke up early to record this podcast, but I will say Usman Garuba had a monster block on Jason Tatum, which was really cool to watch. He also had, you know, I posted a highlight of him with a quick, you know, kind of a quick pass out of a short roll opportunity, somewhat in transition, just, you know, took a quick power dribble in the paint, sucked in the defense and immediately got the ball out to the open man. Unfortunately, the shooter missed the shot, but just, you know, knowing that Usman Garuba can make that move, you know, really appreciate it. Really like that quick little pass that we saw out of him. And our very next episode is actually going to be with Rafael Barlow, our Locked On in-house draft expert, who is has been dubbed by Chad Ford an international draft expert. So we actually had Rafael on the show before to discuss both Usman Garuba and Alperen Şengün previously, back when we were kind of, you know, leading up to the NBA draft. And so we're going to have Rafael joined the show again to kind of share his thoughts on Şengün, Garuba, as well as a little bit on Josh Christopher. So be on the lookout for that episode coming out tomorrow. But a couple more of the names here before we wrap this thing up. Jarrett Allen. I'm old enough to remember being told that Jarrett Allen, there was no way that Jarrett Allen was going to make $20 million plus as a free agent this summer. I remember being told that. Allen makes $100 million over 5 years with the Cavaliers. Who else? Derrick Rose re-ups with the New York Knicks, 3 years, $43 million. Kelly Olynyk talked about him to the Pistons. Reggie Jackson still has not signed. Lauri Markkanen, unsigned. Scrolling through here. Blake Griffin back on a one-year deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Campaign returning to the Suns on a three-year deal. Bobby Portis, two-year deal with the Bucks. So I called that one. I called that one over on Locked On NBA that I thought Bobby Portis was probably going to take a team-friendly deal, 2 years, $9 million, to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks. So happy to see that there based on how big a part of the title he was for them. PJ Tucker, that's the name. I had that written in my notes. PJ Tucker goes to the Miami Heat. So the Miami Heat pick up Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker, bring back Duncan Robinson. The Heat are looking like a top three seed in the East next season. But the funniest thing, right, is PJ Tucker plays his role to perfection, you know, for the Bucks in the playoffs, becomes the parade MVP, right? The champagne pouring, the speech, all of that, right? We got dogs in Milwaukee, and then says, yeah, I'm good. And he's going down to South Beach on a cheaper deal than what was reportedly offered by Milwaukee to him. So PJ just said, I'm not living in Milwaukee, man. That's what PJ said. PJ said he needs to go down to South Beach. You know, I thought that was just amazing. So shout out PJ Tucker, Rockets legend, PJ Tucker. Who else? Melo still hasn't signed anywhere. JJ Redick unsigned. Patty Mills. Malik Monk, another one unsigned. Wesley Matthews, Austin Rivers back to the Nuggets on a one-year deal. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, burrow through too many more of these names here. It was a whirlwind of free agency. There's still some significant players out there that have remained unsigned. It'll be interesting to see what direction the Rockets decide to go with. If they do decide to use their non-taxpayer MLE, or if they just hold on to it, right? They don't have to spend it. If there's not a guy out there that they think, you know, addresses some, you know, concerns for this team, adds some shooting, adds some level of value, they do not need to spend their non-taxpayer MLE, but they have it. If they want to spend it, they don't have to spend all of it. They can split it between multiple players. And it'll be really interesting again to see what direction they decide to go with that. And of course, we'll keep you posted for all of that and more here at Locked On Rockets. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching, for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.